Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 16th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 51, the first paragraph that begins with, "This world of ours has made." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are France N., who will be reading the 12 steps, Carol F. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E.B., Sherry K.B., and Betsy H. The share ID for Thursday, April 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,769. That's 16769. And this morning's Friday, April 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,778. That's 16778. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask France N. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is France N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Lillian, Alabama. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning, and I pass.
Thank you, France N. And Carol F., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen, and everyone on the line. I'm Carol F. from Maryland, compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 51, the first paragraph that begins with "This world of ours has made." And good morning, Julie E.B., if you could get us started, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where it is snowing on the 16th of April. This world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. As I said, I'm Julie, gratefully recovered. I really appreciate the opportunity to share in this paragraph because it's really playing with the idea of knowing. We agnostics, right? Agnostics has to do with knowing. And the more I think I know, you know, one famous spiritual teacher said that the opposite of faith was not doubt, but certainty. And this paragraph is really addressing that in certainty in what we know, see, almost everyone knows the reason why we make this material progress, all this scientific inquiry. But who wants to do scientific inquiry and invention and change in the area of my compulsive overeating? Why would I want to change my ideas, which are killing me? The way I was living my life was and can kill me. And so what do? I look at the fetters. I look at the bondage that I'm under by superstition, tradition, all sorts of fixed ideas. How many traditions like birthday, Christmas, Valentine's Day, that all of these days were all about eating would kill me? How many superstitions that, for example, if I would think about my fears, if I would worry about things, I actually thought that gave me more control over it. But truly, the brainstorm is a dubious luxury for me. How many fixed ideas do I have that I need this to get through the day, that my food was a performance-enhancing drug, when in fact it was clouding my ability to respond and leaving me just reacting all the time. I have ministered this year to hundreds of people, you know, who were dying of a disease. They had a fixed idea, didn't even happen, didn't even exist, and that would never ever happen to them. And so in this difficult and painful time, I just ask and pray that I would be able to become aware of my agnosticism. I can just make a list. What superstitions, if I'm having a difficult area, whether it's in food or in life, what are the superstitions I have? What are the traditions I have that aren't working for me, like living in constant chaos or people pleasing that got me through my childhood? What are the fixed ideas that don't work for me anymore? Like I'm the center of the universe. thanks for letting me share, because I guess the earth is round. And I believe there is a power greater than me to restore me to sanity. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are on page 51, the first paragraph that begins with, "This world of ours has made. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too." So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Shanna C.
Was it Jana C?
Shanna.
Shanna. Sorry, Shanna.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Christina J.
Christina J. Okay.
Emily D.
Emily D.
Yes.
Okay. I can take one more. Here's your opportunity. All right, then we will stop there. Shanna C., Bruce E., Kara L., Christina J., and Emily D. So go ahead, please, Shanna C.
Hello, this is Shanna. Sorry, took a second to unmute. But I am Shanna C. In Tennessee, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater through God's grace, and not my own thinking and my own fixed ideas. So grateful to be abstinent today, and it truly is through the work of this program and getting to that point where I saw that all my old ideas didn't work. I honestly, you know, living by the world's rules and things like that, but that are not necessarily of a spiritual nature, you know, worked for me for a while until I hate to say it, but I was in so much pain. And then it was at that point that I saw that everything that I did, everything I tried, everything, I was wrong about so much. And what I've discovered through working the steps and, you know, first I had to put down the food, and it became almost like I didn't have a choice but not to put down the food, just simply because I believe I cried out to the God of my understanding completely empty, and I asked him for help, and I was led here. And the obsession was lifted. And then because of the steps and because of the people here that were able to help me get through the steps, that obsession had stayed away. And with that, putting down the food and following, for me, the food plan was a lot easier because the choice was taken away. And then going through the steps, what I've really learned is I get to be wrong now. where one of my biggest underlying fears, because of my tendency to get into so much self-reliance, because I'm taught, you know, you're a worthless person unless you're taking care of things yourself. I thought that's how I was supposed to live my life. I didn't realize I'm actually a child of a loving creator who wants to provide for me and wants to help and loves to help. And he's absolutely helped me. And but I get to be wrong. I get to make mistakes. I get to learn from them, and I don't have to be afraid. And I get to grow. And through living in 10, 11, and 12, I get to stay abstinent. I get to help others, and my dark past has become my greatest asset. And thank God for the love and grace of this program and for the relationship that I've developed through, I mean, with my loving creator that I had no idea truly cared. Anyway, I get to enjoy my vacation today, and it's not about the food, thank God. All right, and have a wonderful day, and I appreciate you letting me share.
Thank you, Shauna C. in Tennessee. Good morning, Bruce E. You are up, followed by Kara L.
Okay, thank you. It's Bruce E. down in Florida. I'm recovered. And thanks, everybody on the line. Thanks for those doing service. First of all, I love this chapter, but especially this paragraph here. And it starts out, this world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in the millenniums before. And I've looked at that, I've read that, I've thought about that, and I'm kind of a student of world history and took a lot of that in college and sort of ever since been interested in it. And I've always wondered why these guys for centuries, you know, from like, I guess, after the time of Christ or maybe after the time of the Roman Empire in 500 BC AD until about 1000 or 1500, they were so, they for long periods of time, they didn't make any progress. So I started looking at that and looking that up. Why weren't they making any material progress? And some historians said that they were doing this, they were doing that. But I always just remember seeing this guy, this picture of this guy when I was studying this in college, of all he had was like an ox and a cart and a little home, wife and a couple of kids, and a little tiny piece of property. And he's working that property or working that land for doing the same thing his dad did, as his grandpa did, his great grandpa did. Everybody did the same thing over and over, and nobody got anywhere appreciably, you know. So why did that happen? Well, it goes on to say it here. In the realm of the material, these men's or the men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, all sorts of fixed ideas. Fixed idea, of course, would be that, well, my dad did this, my grandpa did this, and then, you know, we always did it that way. Superstition, maybe scared of stuff. Tradition, same thing happened over and over for centuries. And it says fettered means chained to. So they were chained to superstition, tradition, all sorts of fixed ideas. Well, so how much am I fettered to superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas? A lot of it, you know. So what keeps me chained to my old ideas that would keep me from getting set free? Well, fear, because fear of doing something different, you know. So maybe my sponsor or somebody else recommends that I do something, maybe I'll try doing this. Well, right away fear comes in, thinking, well, no, I don't, what I got is working, you know, just like these guys thought all over all these centuries, what I got is working, you know. I don't want to step out in faith and buy another priest's property, another ox, or farm my neighbor's property or something. And I don't want to do that. So fear comes in. So how do I get rid of the fear? The only thing I can think of is, you know, you do the fourth step, fifth step, and tenth step, and that's how you do it. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Bruce E. in Florida. Good morning, Kara L. You're up, followed by Christina J.
Good morning. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Hello, my fellows. I do like this paragraph. And I used to have to say, I used to read this paragraph and not identify in. And then I was reading it with somebody else, and all of a sudden that line that a lot of us I've already heard referred to is, you know, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. I have written in the edge of my book, Are Mine. And it was just one of those awakenings that I had. I was like, oh my goodness gracious, where are my ideas, you know, fettered? Where are, you know, and then it talks about the contemporaries of Columbus, and, you know, and I thought, how, even popular thought of the moment, the different diets that I thought, you know, I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. This person says this. This is it. This is how it must be, you know. And today, I'm thankful to have recovery. Today, I'm thankful that I get a look at that and see I'm human. And I, you know, where are my ideas fixed? When I look at my, you know, when I look at my inventories and I say, okay, you know, where's my part in this? And I will tell you, most of the time, my part is that things are not going according to my script, my fixed ideas, to having a fixed mindset on how things need to look, you know, and I tell myself I have to be upset if things aren't how I think they need to look. And, you know, today I get to stop, work these steps, see where that is, ask my higher power for help, because I can't, on my own, I can't change that. On my own, I'm in those fixed ideas and superstitions and traditions. But when I am connected with a higher power, something greater than myself, I can realize that I only see through these little dim glasses of my compulsive overeating, where my higher power sees everything. And today, I can use these steps, I can connect, and I can move forward with in my higher power's will rather than my own fixed will. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kara L. Christina J., you're up, followed by Emily D. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Thanks for everybody on the line. I really have enjoyed the shares, especially the lead. I was like, what am I going to share now? But, you know, I come on these lines from the state of Washington, if I didn't say that, because I have experienced strength and hope to share, not from an ego, but from a recovered state that's 9 months now. And it's kind of shocking to me that I have that. I've never been able to hold a diet for, you know, I was on Optifast for 3 months, and then I went right back into the food. That was the longest I ever had any kind of diet. But I get on here to share what I know and what I feel and humble myself and be vulnerable, because that's what we all relate to, isn't it? We're all relating to the vulnerability and the honesty in one another. And my honesty this morning around this paragraph is that I was bound and restricted and confined, which is what fettered means, by what everybody else is saying, fixed ideas and tradition. I learned a tradition when I was young that I needed to control everything and I needed to make things happen, even though I believed in God. And over the years, when I was pushing and shoving and trying to make my life happen, and certain things would happen, but it was always a horrendous struggle. When I think back on it now, I hurt. I'm not even interested in that struggle anymore. I just have no power to do it, and it scared me for a while when I surrendered my life to God a few years ago, when I actually said, I can't do this anymore. It's not happening, this career. It scared me because my whole life, people, I have been living for that career. It was going to be my thing. From my childhood, I wanted to be a star. I was going to be a singer. I did everything in my power to make it happen. I dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, and I was ready. I was ready for that manager. I was ready for that record company, and it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. I did a lot of stuff. I toured many places. I tasted it. And then I tasted how God didn't want it for me, because in reality, there's a very evil thread that runs through that world, and it has nothing to do with service and what God wants for me to do with my life and my talents. So I was fettered by the fact that I thought I could control it. And what was the other side of that was the food, because the food kept me in that lie, not only in the lie of control, but you know, I heard somebody earlier share that food really warps our thinking. We're not present. we are living in a lie when we're in the food. We have all kinds of ideas and superstitions that aren't real when we're in the food. I used to wake up in horrible fear all night about my career, about my diet, about my body. You know, I was living in just a lie. And so this morning I want to share that you get into this program and you put down everything you think you know about everything, even your life, even the things that you think for years maybe should be happening that aren't, or the things that have happened that you think shouldn't have happened, and just trust that something bigger is running the show. You can save yourself a lot of years of struggle just by following this program now. I'm 62, and it took me until 60 to get this thing, and I've only had 9 months of abstinence after many relapses. So save yourself some trouble. Quit digging the hole and going deeper and deeper into the food and into, into the horror of this disease. We all here are here with love and support, and I welcome outreach calls, and I know everybody here does too. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Hope I made some sort of sense. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. And Emily, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 51, the first paragraph that begins with "This world of ours has made," and I'll be taking some more names after Emily. So go ahead, please, Emily.
Thank you so much, moderator. Hi, this is Emily D. as in dog in Chicago. Grateful to be here. And, you know, there's so much external in this paragraph, and that was always the seductive part about, you know, where I was going to find the solution. I think about, you know, when I do on awakening every morning, and I think about, you know, being divorced from self-pity and self-seeking and dishonest motives, which in itself is like, talk about something I have to come back to all the time. You know, I can have some assurance that if my thinking is on a spiritual plane and not a material plane, that I can sort of proceed with integrity and do some hard things. You know, I have for today a conversation that I need to have with a sponsee, for example, about, you know, my piece and her piece and kind of how it's working and, you know, it's not working. And I'm reminded that there's no leaders in this program. And that feels really good for today, but it's still hard. And if I were really thinking about the material plane and material progress, I'd be thinking, well, you're not doing it my way. And this is the prescription. And, you know, this is how it looks. This is how it looks. And it doesn't look that way for her. So on the spiritual plane, you know, I approach even stuff like that. You know, it's not maybe building a plane for a successful flight like we'll read about in the next paragraph, but the moment-to-moment relationship with someone else I can approach with love and tolerance and compassion and honesty. And that's God. That has nothing to do with, you know, all the books on my shelf, all the psychology books that would say this is how you have a disagreement and confrontation and get what you want. You know, and what I want, thank God, all I want is to be helpful. But I've got a lot of ego to get through before I get there. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about here is, you know, comparing and despairing and, you know, talk about being chained to old ideas. I think, too, I've just really been a person my whole life, and I think this might be humans in general, who only knows who they are in comparison to who you are. So if you're the victim, then I get to be the savior. And if I'm the victim, then you're going to save me. And I think like there, if I really think about, you know, the world of God's understanding, it's like, and the world that I'm trying to live in, it's just, we're all here. We're just walking. And I have a script I wake up with every morning, and so do you. And so, you know, we're just trying to do the best that we can. But I've lived a long life of prizing the intellect. And I know that God gave me a brain to use, and he gave me a brain today to say, hey, call into the vision line at 9 a.m. Central. You've got the time. And I'm so grateful for that. But the shares have been wonderful. And I think, too, my spiritual progress, thank you, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it feels like it was kind of fast today, unlike this material progress being painfully slow sometimes. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Emily D. in Illinois. Okay, we're on page 51, the first paragraph, this world of ours has made, and if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I welcome you to give me your name and share this morning. Who'd like to share?
Carol G., as in George.
Carol G. Okay.
Alice A.
Alice A.
Bonnie T.
Is that Bonnie T?
That's right. Thanks.
Okay. Step on up. Now's your chance. All right. I'm going to stop with those three, but was that Diane B? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have Carol G, Alice A, Bonnie T, and Diane B. Anyone else? Okay, so let's go with Carol G. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I don't really have that much to say, but I did want to just mention that one of the beauties of being in program and being in meetings is when you hear somebody say something that sounds just like yourself. And earlier, I just heard somebody say, they used food as a performance-enhancing drug. And then I heard that I chuckled because, I mean, I'm so glad I can chuckle now. Because even though I had been in program for many years, I didn't realize that I was still eating some foods that were really alcoholic foods for me. And then in the afternoon, my energy would be flagging. And I'd just be dragging, and it's like I had to pick up something just to give me energy. I didn't even have cravings. It was just I was using it because I was eating the wrong foods. I had no idea, and I was beating myself up. Why am I lazy? Why am I not motivated? And it was actually just a matter of what I was choosing to put on my food plan. So at that point, if you would have asked me if I could have gotten along in my life functioning without that particular thing, I would have said, you're saying the world is flat. I mean, it was that impossible. And yet, because of Vision, my sponsor, I've learned to give these things up, and I don't need them anymore in my life. So I'm so grateful. So thanks very much for listening.
Thank you, Carol G. And Alice A., good morning. You're up, followed by Bonnie T. Go ahead, Alice.
Hi, this is Alice A. from Alabama. And I think in the paragraph, and several people have alluded to this, the section where it says their minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. You know, this is the way it was supposed to be. They had a fear of change, of anything new, and I think that's where I lived for so long in my life. I believed in God, but I didn't rely on God. In essence, I really was an acting agnostic. I was trying to control my own life and not depending on God, and needless to say, I wasn't doing a very good job of it. When I first came in the program, I was so happy to know that there were others that had the same issues with food as me, but I was not introduced to a solution to the big book. And it was not until many years later that I found how to work the program through the big book. But there have been several relapses along the way, but with every one, I've learned something about myself. And I hope people who are listening and have relapses don't think, oh gosh, I'm not doing it right, because with me, that's a part of the program. And as I said, I'm learning more about myself with each one. Today, I'm completing my fourth step inventory, and I found that some of the resentments and the fears that I had put down before are not there anymore. Well, granted, there are some new ones, but those are gone. So I feel like I am making progress in my spiritual growth and growing towards God.
And I really see it, and I hope people will really see that this program works. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
And thank you, Alice A. Bonnie T., you are up, followed by Diane B. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. I'm Bonnie T., a compulsive reader from Chicago. Excuse me. And what I heard in this paragraph that just made me chuckle and shudder at the same time was this idea: as an addict, I'm completely unwilling to change. And so I can look at that externally. Not only am I refusing to change, but I expect everybody else around me to change. That's the way I run the show, right? It's my ideas, it's my way, and that's driven by then all of my character defects. That's my pride, my arrogance, and that complete unwillingness to change anything about me, including my belief in God. And what program has brought me in such a beautiful way is today I'm just so willing to change. I'm sort of look forward to that. It's part of the adventure that I'm on with God as I understand it. And so a very different perspective for me after years of just, I think we see this illustration in the book about banging your head against the wall, right? And it's like I did that repeatedly. And so much of that was based in my just my unwillingness to look at things different or to change or to try something new because I was afraid that I would look foolish, afraid that I'd be humiliated, afraid that I wasn't good enough, afraid that I was unlovable. But boy, that stance about not changing was really at the root of my years of not recovering. So thank you so much for letting me share, and have a blessed day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie T. in Illinois. And good morning, Diane B. You are up, and after Diane, I can take a few more names. So we're on page 51, the first paragraph This World of Ours Has Made. So go ahead, Diane.
Good morning, it's Diane B. from Anaheim, California, Southern California. Grateful to be here and so grateful for program and all those who serve in our behalf at this meeting. When I think of these, this paragraph as six ideas, what comes to mind to me in my interpretation, in my mind, is closed-mindedness. And when I'm closed-minded to people around me, to ideas around me, to religious backgrounds, religious ideas, religious anything, and when I'm closed-minded to God, that puts me in this category of being an agnostic. And I've from the time I was little, I believed in God. I knew exactly in my mind who He is, and He's still the same today. I'm so grateful for that knowledge, but yet I would go about life as though He wasn't there, which puts me in the agnostic category. And so I become chained to these ideas and not open-minded to something new. And that's what this program has done for me, is opened my mind and given me, like in the last paragraph, a new attitude, a new belief, a different way of thinking. And sometimes when I'm thinking of certain thoughts, I'm thinking, okay, is that my crazy thinking, or is that my logical thinking? And so, and I don't know sometimes. So I have to ask God. And when something, luckily right now, food isn't calling out to me in any way, shape, or form, but each time food does call out to me, I think of something, I need to go directly to God right then. Right then is when I need to go to Him, wherever I'm at. If I'm at home, I need to go on my knees humbly to Him and ask Him to please remove those thoughts. So part of this program is getting away from the me show, the me-ism, and turning to him. And when I try and hide stuff, it's not the fact of what I'm hiding. You know, if I don't want to share it with somebody, it's not the fact that of what I'm hiding. And I always used to think that growing up, you know, that of what I'm hiding, but it's the fact that I'm hiding it and not sharing it with God at this point in my life, or, you know, authorities, whether it be parents or whatever it was when I was growing up. So open-mindedness, that's what I have to work on. Thanks for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Diane B. in California. And we're on page 51, the first paragraph, This World of Ours Has Made, and we have time for about 2-3 more shares. So who would like to share on that paragraph? No takers. Okay, rather than the long pause, would anyone like to share on this? I can take two more names.
Liz A.
Liz A. And one more.
Aura R. Aura.
Is that
R. Aura.
Is it Laura R?
O-R-A.
O-R-A. Aura R. Okay. Let's take both of you then. Liz A, go ahead, please.
Okay, this is Liz A. from Michigan. I have a hard time with the word recovered. I am still in process, still a work, recovering from bulimia, anorexia, compulsive overeating. This has been powerful for me because I've been in program in OA for over 30 years, and the recovery has been miraculously slow. And what I'm coming to is that my mind is still fettered. I still have conceptions and judgments that are painfully not working for me. And I had a sponsor in OA years ago. She's gone now, but she would say, the truth shall set you free, but first it sucks. And I had one of those first it sucks moments the night before last, and just realizing that though I put the food down one day at a time for 5+ years now, that my mind is where this addiction disease is centered, and that my thinking is still fettered, that I still have chains and ways of thinking that are not benefiting me. And it's kind of painful to admit. And that's pride, thinking I should be further, thinking that I should have made the journey more gracefully. This is not graceful for me, and I'm glad to be on the line. Thank you. Hugs, everybody.
Thank you, Liz A. in Michigan. And Aura R, go ahead, please. And I can take another name after Aura R, so be ready to jump in, please. Aura R, go ahead, please. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm Aura R from California, compulsive overeater. And, you know, I'm not new to OA, but I'm new to abstinence through the Visions program. And I just, you know, I just recently am working, I'm working on my sixth step, and this is, you know, right down that alley, because one of the defects that just radiated, I mean, there could have been floodlights on this defect, and it's that pride, that self-importance, that wanting things my way, thinking that I know better, you know, judgmental, and even, you know, sometimes it's masqueraded in a nice way, you know, it can be syrupy sweet, but it's still judgmental. And this meeting this morning has really been right on target for me, you know, that
obsession between the ears, that mind, you know, and even though the obsession for the food has been lifted from me, I'm still caught up in these character defects. And so I'm really grateful to everybody who's brought things up this morning, so much information. You know, I love the part about being caught up in our traditions, you know, our holiday ideas, those ideas that hold us hostage. That really rang some bells with me. I cannot, like many people, but I have food allergies, so I haven't been taking part of traditions. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't still pop up in my mind, you know. So it's good for me to be aware of that, and I thank you. So I pass.
Thank you, Aura R. in California. Who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 51,
Nadia
the first
B.
paragraph? Nadia B. Okay. Go ahead, Nadia. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for your service. And thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Thank you for your service. I'm so grateful. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater today. You know, there's so much bias and prejudice. It was in my life and still is today. You know, I'm still uncovering, discovering more and more prejudice, more and more a contempt prior to investigation. That's what popped up in my head. My favorite quote from the Big Book is, I think, from Herbert Spencer, because that's why I suffered for so many years. You know, you guys, I came here a little over a decade to Overeaters Anonymous, but I thought that plan of eating was for you and not for me. Sponsors would, you know, take away my free time. Meetings would, you know, distract me from my daily life, from work, from everything else. I couldn't stop to call anybody, you know. I came here with a lot of contempt and a lot of ideas of what this program was all about. And, you know, I suffered and suffered for years and years in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, because I thought that these suggestions were not for me. You know, I thought that I should be able to eat intuitively. You know, I should be able to help myself through the steps. I should be able to just to read this book by myself, and that would, you know, that would be just enough. And, you know, for years, years and years, I didn't understand. I shoulded myself, as my good friend likes to say to me, you know, I shoulded all over myself and, you know, sat here and was not able to live in peace the way you guys describe life. And, you know, of course I had a lot of contempt. I didn't want to investigate because it would require me doing something differently. And me doing something differently was really, really hard for me. And I couldn't do it on my own. And because I had contempt, because I thought, you know, I had this idea what sponsorship was, what meetings were going to do for me, that plan of eating was going to, you know, deprive me of everything that I love to do, like, you know, celebrate with my family. None of it is true for me today. But I suffered that contempt prior to investigating through that. And I'm just really grateful that I finally, that this pain of eating finally convinced me to take this program seriously, take it as it is and not as I would want it to be, as I should do it, and do it as you guys do it. And that's why I'm so grateful for you, for your existence, guys, for coming here every day and sharing, because I could not do it without you. Because you guys helped me to investigate into my own life, into my own recovery, and I'm just eternally grateful. Thank you so much, everyone, for your shares, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. Okay, thank you, everyone who shared this morning, and
Special thanks to Team Friday, France N, Carol F, Julie E.B., Sherry K.B., Betsy H., Lois P., Robin P., and Nadia B. Thank you all for helping making this meeting work, and all of you stepped up to share this morning. So we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Sherry K.B., will you please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Siri, recovered compulsive reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.